Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning. How are you feeling today? Okay. Let's pray. Right. Father, we thank you for today that, Lord, you are a God who give us strength, a God who give us enablement, Lord, to continue to strengthen us, continue to lead us, continue to abide in us as we abide in you. So, Lord, we thank you. We commit the whole morning to what we're going to share this morning to you. We pray, God, that you open our hearts, open our minds, and open our eyes of faith to see and to listen and to hear what you are saying to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you know where we are at our Bible reading schedule for this year? It's coming to the end of the year. Which book are we at? Book of Mark? Which chapter? Okay, we are at chapter 11 and 12. Okay, so I'm going to share based on Mark chapter 11. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, you turn to Mark chapter 11. Okay, what the message that I'm going to share with you is not an easy one. I hope that in the next 30 minutes, you know, what I'm going to share will not make light or undermine what some of us are going through. I hope this message serve as an encouragement to all of you and to keep turning to God, to look to Him in every situation and even though when it's tough. So I do feel impressed that this message is for us and I hope God will help me do what I can. So help me by looking to Him and open your hearts to what He's saying. Okay, first and foremost, we'll show you a video on a prayer advertisement. Okay, it's a 1 minute video.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Prayer is for everyone. Hey, the church is getting more creative in promoting prayer, not only within her walls, but into the communities, into secular societies. And this advert is supposed to be screened at movie theatres in UK, but it has created some controversy and some criticism. Okay, but you know, churches are using traditional channels. Sometimes they're using also internet, social media, and mobile apps, mobile applications such as WhatsApp to encourage prayer. Well, intentions are good, and the efforts are praiseworthy. You must not forget and understand the whole basic trust of prayer, its fundamental essence and purpose. And this is especially true when we come to critical junctures in our lives, where we need to pray even more intently, we need to pray even more with more intensity, and this is a time when we reach a giant roadblock of our lives. It can be circumstances when we kind of lose hope, and where we are tempted in every way to give up, and where our faith is being challenged, our faith is being pushed one side, and we come face to face with the impossibility, and we are tempted to resign and give up. And especially when we see things moving from bad to worse, we think it's all over. Right? Our faith is challenged, tested, and battered. And this is the very juncture that we need to keep our faith. This is the very point that we need to continue to believe, we continue to pray, continue to keep our posture right, and to pray right. You know, it's not about who is praying, whether this person is anointed to pray, or whether it's the program, whether it's the place that we are praying, but it's the how we are praying that matters. And at critical junctures, and when we need to pray, how we pray will make all the difference. Right? And this is exactly how Jesus responded in Mark chapter 11 to his disciples. In the light of what is going to happen to Israel as a nation, Jesus urged his disciples to look to God in faith. And it was at this particular moment that Jesus took the opportunity to remind his disciples how to pray. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11. We can read from verse 20 to 26. Verse 20, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look at the fig tree which you have cursed. It has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he say is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you ask and pray, believe that you have received them, and all things for that they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is heaven will also forgive your transgression." So when you stand praying, forgive, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your transgression. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgression. We know that a fig tree, many scholars and theologians believe that the fig tree refer to the spiritual condition of Israel. And Jesus cursed the fig tree, seeing that it does not produce fruits. You know, the scenario behind this passage of scripture is when Jesus is entering Jerusalem, and when he's about to enter the temple, he passed by the fig tree, and the fig tree has only green leaves, right? He's looking for fruits. And for fig tree is such a type of tree that when before it produces the fruits, it produces some forerunner. It looks like the fruit together with the green leaves. But for this particular tree, it only have green leaves. It doesn't have that forerunner fruit. So it's very clear that this tree will not produce fruits in the season. So Jesus, seeing that, cursed the fig tree. And so when after he went to the temple, you are familiar with this rare sight of Jesus. He was very angry. Yeah, when he went to the temple, he turned the temple inside out, and he said that, you know, what was meant to be a house of prayer, you turn it into the den of robbers. So when he came out from the temple, he saw this fig tree again, and that's where the disciples say, "The tree that you curse has withered from its roots." So we know that Israel, as a nation, through history, will be uprooted, and as a people will be dispersed. And one of the reasons why the book of Mark was written was to address the question of why Jerusalem was conquered by the Roman army and its temple destroyed in AD 70. That was the time of the writing of this gospel. Why had it all happened? What had gone wrong? Why was Jerusalem destroyed? Mark tells the story in such a way to make sense out of that. And the purpose of this gospel is to present Christ to the Gentiles and to encourage the believers who are to endure and persevere in the face of persecution and even martyrdom. Hence, I believe today Mark chapter 11, verse 20 to 26 have a message today, has a message for us today, and it's entitled, "It's Not Over Yet. Have Faith in God." It's not over yet. Have faith in God. It's about believing and praying for the impossible. Turn to your partner and say, it's not over yet. Have faith in God. This is a message about rediscovering prayer in the light of who God is. And especially in the face of insurmountable mountain of our lives, is at this juncture, the more important we need to look to God in faith, the more important we need to pray with faith. So I trust this message will bless and minister to you. And the three aspects that we need to touch on as we go through sharing. First is the face of the impossible. This is where the juncture where our faith is being challenged. Secondly, the God of the impossible. He is the author of our faith. And the prayer for the impossible, the expression of our faith. You know, the temple in Israel, Jesus looked at it, it has everything to do with commercialization. You know, when bigger is better, more is good, comparison of blessing and offering. And when we use worldly values to measure the things of the spiritual. And that's what happened to the temple, you know, where Jesus said the house of prayer has been turned into the den of robbers. Because Israel's faith has been compromised, commercialized, and has become corrupted. That's why Jesus has to change Israel. And this is where we need to look, you know, to God. And that's why Jesus said, have faith in God. So first, the face of the impossible, the challenge to our faith. You know, in verse 20, it says that as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look at the tree which you have cursed. It has withered. 3 points here. First is when it's all over for Israel. The withering of the fig tree. When it's all over for us, you know, where our faith is being battered. The withering of our faith. And lastly, when it's not over yet. When it's all over for Israel, the withering of the fig tree. We know that the withering of the fig tree signifies what would happen to Israel. We know that shortly after Jesus' ministry period, Jerusalem was conquered and the temple was destroyed. You know, spiritual headquarters. What the Israelites, what the Jews are looking at, the temple, the stronghold of their faith, the place where they go to for God, has been taken away. It has been thrown down, and this is where Jesus asked them, look to God. And we know that God has a calling for His people. From day one, since the time of Abraham, God made covenant with Israel throughout history and promised they will be a great nation. And yet with such a turn of events, it was as if God has abandoned Israel. It's impossible to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was all over for Israel. It's where Jesus said, look to God. How about when it's all over for us, the withering of our faith? There are times where we come to a point in our lives when we face situations where we are tempted to believe and say, okay, you know, I'm done. It's impossible to carry on. You know, perhaps we believe that God has a call for us. You know, for some reason and circumstances, we think that this will not work out. You know, dream when the calling is over. Or whether God has called you to a marketplace, you face one setback after another. We come to this point where you want to throw in the cold towel. Or whether it's your friendship or marriage or your children. You know, it's all turning from bad to worse. You are tired of trying. You want to give up. Our faith, and it comes to a point where your faith has been challenged. Your faith has been battered. And you feel that this is where, you know, you think it's over. It's over. And under these circumstances, as our faith takes a beating, we are surrounded with external situation that's pushing us to one corner, and it seems that God has abandoned us. And we struggle with doubts, with unbelief. And we think that God is no longer in control. God is no longer good, or God is no longer wise. And because of that, we end up running in all directions except running to God. And we are tempted to give up our faith in the Lord. We give up praying for that particular area. It's not over yet. Today, the message is saying, it's not over yet. Have faith in God. This is where we wrestle for our faith. It's there at these difficult junctures when we face impossibilities. It's even more crucial to keep believing, keep praying, keep our posture right. Because at this such a crossroad that we need to put our faith in God and not on our circumstances. And especially we know deep in our hearts that what is happening is contrary to God's will and purpose. It's contrary to God's character. It's inconsistent with who God is. We must not give up. Why? Because our God is God of the impossible. What is impossible to man is possible to God. That's faith. You know what? When our faith has been challenged, we need to turn to the author of our faith. The God of the impossible. That's why in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, say, have faith in God. Jesus answered, for assuredly I say to you, whoever say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and there's no doubt in the heart, but believe that these things he say will be done, he will have whatever he says. When we put our faith in God, when our desire and our faith is in line with God's will and purposes, and we keep abiding and in God's will and in God, what we think is impossible will become possible in God. Three reasons when we look at the Bible, you know, why our God is a God of the impossible. It's definitely not exhaustive, but three encouragement why, you know, we can put our faith in our Lord. First, the impossible birth. You know, the ways of God is hidden from man. How many of you have watched the movie The Minority Report? Okay, so I'm going to just demonstrate something for you to see. If you don't understand, then just ask your neighbor, those who watch Minority Report. Okay, imagine, you know who is Satan, right? Yes? Okay. Satan is, you know, trying to figure out, you know, when Jesus is going to be born, where is he going to be born. So here you see Satan trying to work out, you know, where is this Jesus going to be born? I need to find out exactly where he's born, when, where. And then there's a subordinate that comes to him, and he asks the subordinate, tell me where Jesus is going to be born, right? And the subordinate look at his iPad, you know, and say, it's either in Bethlehem or Jerusalem. Then Satan turned to him, of course I know lah, Bethlehem or Jerusalem, you think of what? Where? Exactly where? So the subordinate, I cannot get through that. He say access denied. They enter my password. You know, enter my password. What is your password? What? You enter. I have no time for that. Enter GOD. Okay. Access denied. What else did he say? Your pay grade does not allow you to access this classified information. Okay, go and tell. I think we have some intel asset on who can get access to King Herod. Just tell King Herod, influence him, lie to him. You know, make sure that no male baby can be born. Okay, I mean, you know, the God of the impossible, his ways are hidden from men. After 400 years of silence, right, God has stopped sending his prophets. It's as if, you know, God has stopped speaking to Israel, you know, and there, unassumingly in Bethlehem, Christ was born. And we know that because of that, the history is turned. Because of that, we are here. So God's ways are hidden. The impossible birth, the virgin birth. Secondly, the impossible victory. The ways of God is contrary to men's. We should be familiar with this. You know, the meaning of the cross is death. From the 6th century BC, before Christ, up to 4th century AD, the cross was an instrument of execution. Resulted in the death by the most torturous and painful ways in the crucifixion of a person who is either tied and nailed to the wooden cross and left to hang until dead. Death will be a slow and excruciating, painful fact process. But because of Christ and his death on the cross, the meaning of the cross is completely turned around. Who would have known that out of the most humiliating death and defeat, Christ made history-making victory? And out of the darkest hour of defeat comes the most triumphant declaration, it is finished. The mission is accomplished. His death has brought us life. His suffering has brought us healing and wholeness. The unlikely victory comes out of a seemingly defeat. Before we are tempted to give up in the face of insurmountable mountain of our life, we have to look to God, because His ways are often contrary or totally opposite that man's method and approach. That's why He's a God of the impossible. And then the last point is got to do with the nation of Israel. The impossible nation. And the ways of God is higher than man's. And you look through what Israel went through history. Now we know that, you know, of course, the final chapter of this nation is still to be unfolded. But look at what it went through. Look at the people who went through, the Jews who went through since Christ's time. Look at what was destroyed, the persecution, the diaspora. And you study the history of the Jewish people, the journey they went through. It's impossible for this nation to be born again in 1948. Isaiah says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when we are tempted to give up, throw in the cold towel, we need to put our faith in God. Because His ways are not only hidden from us, it's not only in contrary, sometimes opposite of us, His ways are higher than our ways. And lastly, we have a God who is crazy about you. Tell your partner, God is crazy over you. You have a God who is impossibly good to you. You have a God who is impossibly kind to you. A God who is impossibly faithful to you. Even when you can't see it. Even when you don't feel it. He's still working things for your good. For your welfare. For your eternal blessings. In Romans 8:28, it says that we know that all things work together. God works for the good of those who love Him and we call according to His purpose. I mean, we know this, we have been quoting this, but that's the essence. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. God is in charge. And yet, God, for impossible reasons, you are precious to Him. So when you think it's over, tell yourself it's not over yet. Have faith in God when things are turning around in ways that you do not wish it to be. And in Mark chapter 11, Jesus used that moment to emphasize to the disciples that a person's confident, abiding faith combined with God's power can produce absolutely amazing results. if the request is in harmony with God's will. God is fully capable doing what man regards as impossible. And Jesus did not stop there. He took opportunity to teach them to pray. What is the essence of prayer? How to pray? The posture of our prayer. And that's what I call the prayer for the impossible. It's an expression of our faith. And the primary area that we express our faith is through prayer. Especially when things close up in front of us, we need to press in our faith through prayer. That's what in Mark chapter 11, 24 to 26, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them." And whatever you stand praying, the posture, you know, Jews, when they pray, they stand. "If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Jesus is talking about not just the outward posture, but the inner posture. Before you go into these scriptures, let's get something straight. Praying for the impossible is not about having a formula to pray to get what you want. Right? It's not about twisting God's hand towards our own agenda. Because we can't. It's not even about pleading to God about what we felt denied of. Praying for the impossible, or praying in general, is about putting our faith in God alone. Our prayer needs to be centered on Him. Three things we need to be mindful as we pray when our circumstances challenge our faith. Keep believing right. Putting our faith in God alone. Keep praying right. Presence of faith in our intercession, and keep our posture right, putting the heart of our faith in relationship. Keep believing right, putting our faith in God alone. Jesus answered, you know, to the disciples, "Have faith in God." Right? When things happen in such a way that it goes beyond your understanding, have faith in God. Our God needs to be centered on who God is, what He has done, and what He has promised to do. You know, the prayer of the King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 26, he's surrounded, he's in a, been threatened by armies of his enemies that will be coming to attack Israel. So King Jehoshaphat, in his prayer, at the last moment, the last hour, he said, "Are you not the God who have been coming, who is the Lord who defend His people? Did you not do this? You know, will you not do this?" So King Jehoshaphat prayed from where God is, who God is to him, what God has promised to do, what He will do. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, you know, Jesus taught, "When you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell to you, they will receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. The Pharisees pray for people to see. The Gentiles pray as if the way they pray could earn God's response. You know, sometimes we pray in twos and threes. We pray, you know, I remember there's a time where I pray. Then suddenly the person keep praying. Then I say, "Wow, look like this person just preached three-point sermon to me. Or I just had a counseling session through prayer." You know, sometimes when we pray, we need to pray to God. We need to pray in faith to God. Right? So, our prayer must not be centered on people, places, program, or even people's faith. Our prayer has to be centered on God. And Jesus said, when we pray, we need to pray to our Father who is unseen. We have to pray with faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says that, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So keep believing right. Focus on God. Keep praying right. The presence of faith in our intercession. So in verse 24, Jesus continued to say, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Right? So that is faith. Can we pray without faith? Or we want to pray, but we lack faith to believe what we are praying or asking for. Can we pray with unbelief in our hearts? We can. Because faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. How do we have that kind of faith? It's very hard to pray when we don't believe that God will help us in our situation. We struggle. You know, especially when we are surrounded with circumstances that is hard for us. This is where we need to humble ourselves and admit this to God. Remember the centurion who asked Jesus for healing of his son. He said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to overcome my unbelief. So the centurion is open to the Lord. This is also a time when we lack the faith. We need to ask the body of Christ to come in to pray for us. And we need to regain that confidence and trust in God, that He is in our situation. So it's not so much of the amount of faith in our prayer, but it's the presence of faith in our intercession. Right? Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and you will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Faith is a gift of God. It's listed with other gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. The source is God. When we lack faith, we ask Him. Right? Just like in James, he said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. This is because when we can only pray right when there's the presence of faith in our intercession. So not only do we need to put our faith in God, not only that we need to have the presence of faith in our intercession, our prayer, we need to get our posture right. Right? In verse 25, 26, Jesus talked about forgiveness. And here, Jesus always emphasized on forgiveness when he taught on prayer. It's inside the Lord's Prayer, forgive us for our debts for as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is the heart of the gospel. It is the heart of our faith. It is because of God's forgiveness that we are saved. And forgiveness is the center of our belief. No forgiveness, no salvation, no church, no heaven. If you don't get this posture right, you won't be able to pray properly. It will affect our prayer life. Because this forgiveness is the heart of our faith. So when Jesus says, when you stand praying, get this inner posture right. It's not about how you stand. It's the posture of your heart. So we need to apply, if we believe in God's forgiveness, we need to apply this in our horizontal relationships. And that's why when we come before God, we need to let go of any unfinished business, conflicts, hurts, and offenses that we have still in us. Otherwise, our prayer life will be affected. And Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3:7, you husband likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she's a woman. Grant her the honor as fellow heirs of the grace, so that your prayer may not be hindered. You know, in those who are married, this is the very basic, you know, in our horizontal relationship that we need to get right. You know, we can only pray from where we are relationally. We need to be right in our relationships so that we can be right with God. Having that posture right will put us in a very strong position to intercede and contend for the impossible in God. This video, which I'm going to show you, is a trailer of a Christian motion picture. But I feel that it captures the essence and the heart of intercession. praying for the impossible.
You've been a good enough father. I don't want to be a good enough father.
Let's go, let's go!
Don't quit! Don't quit!
You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. Praise you, Jesus. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Lord, we need an army of believers and will stand on your word above all else. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees. Who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle.
So when circumstances come to our lives, maybe push us at one corner, test our faith, battle it, it's a time when we need to bring that battle in our prayer. It's a time where we do not give up in our faith. It's a time where we say, it's not over yet. Have faith in God. We need to keep believing right, keep praying right, keep our posture right. Amen? So if this message makes sense to you, and you need someone to stand with you in prayer, we encourage you to come forward to a time that for ministry and time of prayer. God bless you.
Let us respond to this message with a song.
Be magnified. Reminding us in your word this morning that when all things seems impossible, you are the God of possible. You are the God who's able to see us out of this difficult situation. And so, Father, even as we leave this place, we ask of you to help us to turn to you always. When all things fail, we have you as our God, as our Heavenly Father who cares, who loves us. A God who's able to turn all things that is negative into something that is positive. And so, Father, even as we depart from this place, we pray, Lord, that you strengthen us in everything. And so we pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, will continue to keep you in His love and His care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our church service is over. For those of you who still need prayers, will you please come forward? The church leaders will be here to pray for you. For those of you who are here, who are new in Coos, please go to the back. There will be a hospitality counter for you to welcome you. God bless you all.